Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42. Acts 2, 42. The reading of God's word. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do ask that your Spirit would use his word to apply your truth to us, and that you would cause us to comprehend these means that you've given to us to grow in grace, and that you would even use them now that we might grow in grace and in sanctification, and that we might better comprehend and appreciate the wonderful means, the word, the sacrament, prayer, your church, that you've given to us, that we might grow in grace and persevere therein to the end, in faith in Christ. In his name we pray, amen. There is an outline on the back if you're interested in following along. This is our last sermon that I'm going to preach at this time on sanctification. And I will remind you that every one of us will struggle with sin until our death, every one of us will struggle with sin until Christ returns, whichever comes first. And although probability isn't that helpful when you predict the future, it's likely that we may go to our death before Christ returns, still struggling with our sin. The Lord our God has called us to be holy as he is holy. And hopefully it is the desire of every believer here to answer Christ's call when he said to us, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We have learned through this mini-series the way in which that happens in our lives, that we're able to become holy. As we've studied the doctrine of sanctification, we've learned that God mortifies sin in us, or God destroys and removes the sin in us that we inherited from Adam, our father. This work of sanctification is a work of God's free grace in us. And no matter how much we want to change ourselves so that we might be righteous disciples, we are completely dependent upon that work of God's free grace. We are sanctified through faith in Christ, just like we receive every benefit in redemption. And we're sanctified through faith in Christ Jesus, whose Spirit is in every believer working in us. And for this process of sanctification, and so that we might grow in faith and thereby grow in sanctification, the Lord has given us means through which he will do this work in us. In Acts 2:42, the reason we've read this is that it gives us a summary of those means. The context of Acts 2:42 is the life of the church, the redeemed people of God, and we see that they gave themselves to these means of the apostles' teaching, the fellowship of the saints, the breaking of the bread and prayers. Last week we considered the first of these, the apostles' teaching. And we considered how we must feed upon God's word by faith so that we might grow in sanctification. And this evening we're going to consider how we may use the sacraments, prayer, and the fellowship of the saints, or the communion of the saints in the church, in order to grow in sanctification through faith in Jesus Christ. And so let's look at our first point this evening, the sacraments. John Calvin, I think, has a very helpful understanding of the sacraments. And in his Institutes, he said that the Word of God is enough to establish and to build our faith in Christ for salvation. And that is true. Unlike the Roman Church, we who are Protestants, and especially who are Reformed, believe that you can be saved without the sacrament of baptism and the Lord's Supper. But John Calvin went on to write that God, knowing our weakness, gave us also the sacraments to signify and seal our faith in Christ, to build us up. And the Lord has always given sacraments to signify and seal his covenant of grace with the church. And he did actually his covenant of works as in the tree of life. And so every covenant that God has made with his people has included a sacramental sign and seal of that covenant and the blessings and the promises of it. And so we must make use of this gift God has given us and these means of the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, which are those signs and seals of the covenant of grace in the age of the new covenant. And so the first thing to note here is that as you struggle with sin, one thing you need to do is take time to remember your baptism. The Lord has given us this sacrament for our good. And remember, sanctification is through faith in Christ. As we live a life by faith in Christ, as we trust in him and his merit and that he kept the law for us and that he he lives in us now. And so remember what baptism signifies and communicates to us. In Romans 6:4, Paul wrote, "We were buried, therefore, with Christ by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." And so baptism, it's a guarantee of your union with Christ in his death and now in his life. And the Word teaches that. We can read this in Romans 6 and Colossians 2 and elsewhere. But sometimes we need, because of the weakness of our faith, more. And so the Lord gave us baptism as a sign and seal to remind us of that. Baptism is a sign and a seal. It's like a wedding ring that your spouse would wear and you would wear. It's a sign and seal that you put on Christ and that you are heirs of the promises of God. It's a sign that you are sons of God through faith in Christ, as Paul wrote in Galatians 3:25. Baptism is a seal, a guarantee that you have put off the body of sin and your sin has been forgiven. It guarantees God's love and grace and the salvation he's given to you, just like your wedding ring is a seal of your spouse's love for you. And so baptism is a sacrament that God has given us to guide you into faith, a greater faith in Christ for forgiveness of sins. It's a sign and it's a seal and an outward ordinance that God has given us to trust in Christ for holiness and all of salvation, union with Christ, fellowship with him, the fact that we're engaged to him, that we will be resurrected at the last day with him. And so our responsibility is to make use of this gift that the Lord has given to us and to benefit from baptism, because it was given to build our faith, that God has done these works in us. And so there's another sacrament, the Lord's Supper. And as you struggle with sin, which that every time we sin, ultimately it's a faith problem, it's an understanding problem, we don't believe who we are in Christ. So as you struggle with sin, take seriously the Lord's Supper, because it builds up your faith. You see, when you receive the bread in the supper, Christ, not the pastor, Christ through the pastor, says to you, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when you receive the wine, Christ says to you, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." You see, God has given us this regular sacrament that we should regularly take as often as we can. And he's given us the Lord's Supper to remind us of these spiritual blessings in Christ. And so as we eat and as we drink, we are reminded of our enjoyment in them by faith in Christ, just as you're reminded of your enjoyment in your parents' love for you as you gather together with them at the table and eat. these blessings of the new covenant. These are the blessings of the new covenant. Just to summarize them, the blessings that we have through faith in Christ, and we find them summarized in Hebrews 8, but really it's just a quote from the prophecies of Jeremiah. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days." And remember, just like in Amos, that terminology is speaking of the new covenant in Christ. "I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall not teach one another his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." You see, when Christ hands you the wine that it signifies and seals his blood of the new covenant, these are the promises that he's communicating to you. You need to look through that and see that he's giving you this as a symbol, that he's forgiven your sins and he remembers them no more, that he's written his law upon your hearts and minds, and that you are his people and he is your God. In the Lord's Supper, Christ nourishes your soul to everlasting life by faith as you partake of it, believing in Christ. And he nourishes your soul with all the benefits of Christ's body and blood, all the benefits that he accomplished for us on the cross. Justification, adoption, sanctification, glorification, perseverance there into the end, peace in Christ, assurance of God's love. And just like we often forget our loved ones' love for us when we're away, and a note or a phone call or an email or a text reminds us, yes, she still loves me. The Lord has given us this sacrament to nourish us and to build up our faith. So more and more as we partake of the supper by faith, we come to understand and benefit and partake of all of these blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. Christ strengthens us through this sacrament to walk in holiness, because he teaches us that the law of God is written on our hearts and our minds, and it moves us, and that we might commit to live that way. The supper teaches us to live by Christ living in us and Christ working in us, because we feed upon his body and blood by faith, so that he might grow more and more in us, and that all of our sinful nature might be mortified and Christ may be made more in us. And these benefits are not mental exercises. It's not some meditation that you need to do. You don't benefit from the supper just because you kind of brainwash yourself to think these things, but rather when Christ says, "Eat and drink, this is my body, this is my blood," he truly feeds your souls as you receive him in the sacraments by faith. Just like he truly feeds your souls as you receive him in the Word by faith. And so use the Word and use the sacraments to build your faith to live in Christ. These sacraments are signs of the covenant of grace. They're signs of the washing away of your sin. They're signs of the atonement of your sin by the blood of Christ. And they're seals and guarantees that you are saved, you who believe in Christ, who is communicated to you in them. And they confirm with these outward promises that so build up the faith of creatures like us and stages like us, where we're called to live by faith and not by sight. They guarantee the promises of the gospel. And as you receive the sacraments by faith, they truly feed your soul to live in Jesus Christ. And so, although this is not the final word on the sacraments, and just a very brief summary on how we're to benefit from them, let us all be encouraged to seek to appreciate the sacraments that God has given us as means to build our faith. And I encourage you to dig into the larger catechism and, and meditate upon the things that were taught there, that you might grow in your appreciation and your benefit of the sacraments. Well, there is a second means of grace that the Lord has given through which he grows our faith and grows us in sanctification, and that is prayer. Prayer. We are sanctified through faith in Christ as we come to comprehend the fullness of the covenant of grace, as we come to comprehend what has happened to us in dying in sin, to sin, and being raised to new life in righteousness through our union with Christ. The Lord enables us to walk more in holiness. And so if we're sanctified through faith in Christ, you must begin laboring in prayer by asking God to increase your faith and to increase your trust in Christ to save you. You must pray for yourself as Paul prayed in Ephesians 3, verse 17 and following. And remember this prayer. He prayed this for the saints, but we also can pray for this same prayer for ourselves. He prayed that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Sanctification is a process of Christian maturity, and so pray. Pray that God would grow you. I mean, if you want to be a better basketball player, you'll pray that God would do that and make you a better basketball player. If you want to be a better engineer, you pray that God would make you a better engineer. And so pray also that God would make you more holy, to love his law with all your heart, as the psalmist sings in Psalm 119, to long for his holiness, for his glory. Use prayer to grow in sanctification. And let's consider how to use it. The prayer that sanctifies is the prayer from your whole heart. Take James' advice in James 1. Do not doubt that the Lord hears your prayers and answers them and can transform your wicked heart into a heart that seeks after him. God does not answer the doughty prayers, but rather pray that he build your faith, that you might believe that his Spirit is really working in you and powerful to mortify that sin that you struggle with daily. Pray as Christ taught you to pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done, but do not pray those things and hate godliness in your heart at the same time. Does that make sense? Do not pray for grace to resist your sin, but secretly hold on to it in the depths of your heart. And that is what we do so often. One part of our heart wants to stop sinning in this area, but the other part of our heart and our flesh longs for it, actually likes the sin, doesn't want to let it go. Pray, thy will be done, but do not hate godliness in your heart. Do you really want Christ's kingdom to be manifested in your life? You should. You should. And if you do, you must know that your life will change. If you do the Father's will, it will demand that you hate your lust and love godliness. And God knows your heart, and the hypocritical prayer that prays, thy will be done, but doesn't really want to do it, merely mocks God. So pray with all sincerity that he would work in you, and that you would die more to sin, and that you would live to righteousness. And if you lack a longing and a desire and a love for holiness, ask for that. Pray that the Lord might grant you repentance from your sin, and that he would cause your heart to love him completely. Pray with the psalmist in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. But when you pray, pray with your whole heart. And do not stop praying. Pray with your whole heart, but do not stop praying. Paul wrote, be constant in prayer in Romans 12:2. Fighting the sin of our flesh is, and it will be, a daily battle of our faith. And so you must persevere in prayer. Don't think that tonight you can go home and say, God, please cause me to stop this sin. And then that's enough. You can go on with your life and it's just all going to work out beautifully. Rather, God calls us to wrestle in prayer. And so do that. Wrestle in prayer against your unbelief, against your doubts and fears. When you just can't see it, that you are united to Christ, that you're dead to sin because of the power it seems to have over you, wrestle night and day with the Lord. On your knees, alone, and cry out to God. Constantly ask Him to grow your faith. Don't ever let up. When you are tempted, get on your knees and repent and pray. Get on your knees and cry to the Lord like you were fighting for your life. Beg Him to give you faith. Plead with Him to give you strength. Cry out to Him to convince your heart that you are really dead to sin. Pray that He would remove those lies that you're telling yourself, that no, you cannot resist that temptation, and ask Him to fight within you against your laziness, your lazy flesh, and against your evil thoughts and desires. And don't give up in prayer. Pray with your whole heart. Persevere in prayer. But when you pray, do not make a deadly mistake. Do not make prayer a covenant of works. But know yourselves that you're predisposed to do that. You were created in the covenant of works to earn eternal life by perfect obedience. That's how we're wired. And so in your pride, do not make prayer a covenant of works. Well, what do I mean? Don't ever pray, Father, look at me. Look how hard I am praying. I deserve it. I deserve your Spirit to work in me. But how did Christ teach us to pray? He taught us to pray always in Christ's name. It doesn't mean that you conclude your prayer in Christ's name. Father, look at me. Look at how hard I'm praying and striving. You know, I prayed 4.3 hours today. In Christ's name, answer me. The true prayer in Christ's name cries out to God, be merciful to me, a sinner, because I have nothing to offer. Pray, Father, hear me. Not because I'm crying out to you with a loud voice. Hear me and answer because of your Son. Mortify my sin. And hear me because Christ kept the law for me. Hear my prayer because Christ poured out His blood for me. Hear me because of your Son and manifest Him in me. And do it for your glory and do it for His glory. You see, we are reconciled to God only through faith in Christ. So our prayers must be through faith in Him too. So when you're struggling with sin, give yourself to the Word, believing it, that the Spirit might grow you in faith. Give yourself to the sacraments, to never waste them, but to come to receive them and partake of them by faith, and give yourself to wholehearted, persevering prayer in Christ's name. And third, and very briefly, we need to know that we must give ourselves to the fellowship of the saints. God has given us the fellowship of the saints for our growth in grace. How does that happen? It doesn't mean by going golfing or to dinner with your friends, you're just going to grow in the church, you're going to grow in faith. That is not the fellowship of the saints that we find here in Acts 2. The fellowship of the saints speaks of the communion of the saints, the church, in other words. And you see, the word and sacrament are only administered within the church. So if you are outside of the church, don't expect to progress in sanctification in a great amount. Yes, the Lord does sanctify people who are in extraordinary circumstances outside of the church, but we need to realize that the word and sacrament are only administered within the church. And I mean the preaching of the word and the sacraments. Within the church and the fellowship of the saints, we pray for one another with intercessory prayer, as Paul did and as we read in Ephesians 3. Christ has given the church, the fellowship of the saints, elders to exercise discipline upon us when we sin. When we sin and our hearts are too hard to hear the simple call of the world, the word, Christ has given elders to come and rebuke and admonish and to discipline us that we might repent. Our brothers and sisters within the fellowship of the saints are a gift to us. They offer external support for our holy walk in Christ in two ways. They give us examples. We look at our fathers and our mothers in the faith and see them walking by faith. How do these older, these more mature Christians raise their children? Let me learn from them. This is really just what Titus taught about older women and older men and their ministry to younger men and women. We can look to the more mature believers and their examples and say, you know, they seem to be living according to the word. How can I learn to them? And the other thing that our brothers and sisters do is they offer exhortations to us in our sins. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3 says, admonish and exhort one another. Call each other back from your sin. And so we build each other up within the fellowship and the communion of the saints. When we gather together as the corporate body of Christ in the church and worship, we proclaim the grace of God to each other. We call each other to repentance and godliness when we sing the psalms to each other. The bottom line is that you need the church to grow in sanctification. And so you must be united to the church and you must make use of the church that you might grow in Christ and persevere therein to the end. The Lord has given us many means through which we may grow in maturity, the word, the sacraments, prayer, and the church. And all of these things are used by God to build our faith through faith, to transform us more into the image of Christ so that we might more and more be holy as the Lord our God is holy. And just think of a real practical illustration and example. If you have strep throat, would you not take the pill that the physician prescribes for you? Well, the great physician, the Redeemer and the Restorer of your souls has prescribed these means for your growth in grace. So brothers and sisters, do not neglect them, but use them in faith. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you that you did not leave us alone, but you revealed yourself to us in Christ through the scriptures, and that you know how hard it is to live by faith and not by sight, and you gave us the sacraments. And you've given us access to your Holy of Holies, and now we have access to pray through our most high priest, King Jesus, your Son. And because as we pray, and we know that as we pray in his name, You hear our prayers. And Father, we thank you for the fellowship of the saints, the church. Cause us to value the church. Cause our hearts to long to be with your people in this congregation whenever we're gathered for worship or some other time, that we might benefit and be built up by one another as you have ordained. Father, we long as your people to grow, to be more holy as you are holy, and we do confess very humbly that is not the complete and full desire of our heart at times, and so we ask that your Spirit might peel away and cast away the sin that still clings to our hearts and lift our eyes up to Christ, that we might believe that in him we are free from sin and now slaves to righteousness, and may we love that reality. Please build our faith and use your means and help us and teach us how to make use of them ourselves for your glory and for the good and the preservation and the cleansing and the maturing of Christ's bride, his church. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, let's